little bit more than mid screen. Pop them up, shield slash, pop them up again, shield slash, charge the star.
Oh my god, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back.
Woo.
Wayne and I are still alive. If you guys haven't listened to our previous podcast, that was our pre-Comic-Con podcast. Well, now, this episode, Shot Games Podcast, episode 223, this is our post-Comic-Con podcast. And we did a lot of stuff that we always do every year.
Always.
You know what? We're actually going to hold off on that. And we're going to get to it. But let's get started like we do with our normal shenanigans. What have we been doing this week? Well, for me, I've been playing a lot more StarCraft 2. I've been playing with a bunch of friends here, and they're nothing too crazy. Let's see. I've been playing a lot of co-op mode. I've been playing a lot of the mutation on the master difficulty mode. It's pretty hard, but we get it done. XP points goes up, bonus points goes up, yada, yada, yada. And, well, here we are. Let's see. The other game I've been playing at this time, Street Fighter V for the PlayStation 4. A new character came out, and also two new, stages. Stage-wise is Ryu Nostalgia, which is from the original Street Fighter game, or Street Fighter 2. The second one would be also part of the new character that came out. His name is Abigail. His stage in the background is pretty much his same stage that he had in Final Fight. Abigail, little description of this guy, 8 foot tall, 500 some odd pounds, slow but very powerful. I know several major players that are actually picking up this character and actually playing with it and doing some pretty good stuff for a slow moving character. Let's see. Other than that, well, guys, that's it for me this week and a half. Only thing I've been doing is trying to find work on the photos for Comic-Con. So I'll have those up before Monday, okay, guys? Wayne, you?
Well, these last few weeks, I've been doing a lot of comic reading. I've been reading a lot of comic books.
You have.
Which is something I've been trying to do a lot more of lately, is read a lot more. So I've read a lot of Captain America stuff, a lot of Spider-Man, a lot of other stuff. Right now I'm doing the post-Captain America's death, the Captain America Rebirth, and all those, that series of books right now. Really interesting, really fun to read that stuff right now. Other than that, gaming-wise, I have been doing pretty much non-stop Fallout 4.
Fallout 4 again?
No,
I forgot you haven't started yet.
So I just started it a few weeks ago, and right after Comic-Con, and yeah, I just been nonstop. It took me a few minutes, probably about an hour to actually really feel like I was actually getting into the game. But once I got into it, I was kind of hooked. Quite a bit different feeling than I had when I tried playing Fallout 3, which I never did finish, because I just couldn't get into it. So definitely enjoying that. I like the story for it. It actually has a good story to it, with a lot of branches to go out and discover and search for other things, to branch out wise.
So.
But yeah, I think that's about it as far as
Alrighty, guys. So just to let you know, we are gonna go through the news real quickly, because there wasn't that much news, but there's some pretty good important ones too. So as you guys know, that the 2026 Olympics will be, is it 2026? It's going to be in Los Angeles, California.
Yeah.
But the next Olympics may include something that us gamers love. So gaming could be an Olympic sport. So Paris, the host of the 2024 events, is considering, having gaming to be a part of the event itself. The Summer Olympics in Paris could feature, the 2024 Summer Olympics in Paris could feature video game competitions. The co-president of the Paris Olympic Bid Committee told the Associated Press that discussions will be held with people from competitive gaming circles and International Olympic Committee to discuss the prospects of having gamers compete for Olympic gold.
Wow.
That's awesome.
I guarantee you the people in charge of the Intel Masters are going to be getting on board with this and trying to work with
yes.
them. Oh, man.
Yeah, especially now since there's a lot more sponsorship that are coming
yeah.
in. I just heard that Mercedes-Benz.
I'm not surprised.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Chipotle just
yeah.
dropped in. I'm like, what the hell is this? There's other like major.
There's a lot of companies that are starting to say, hey, this is a market where we can bring exposure to it. Let's
yeah.
do it.
And know? There's also major ones too, like Team Liquid. Oh, I also heard that Team Liquid's dropping their not Dota team, but League team.
Okay.
Yeah. yeah. So they're completely wiping it out, Team Liquid.
Yeah.
You also got Rick Fox, who owns Echo Fox. Mm. By the way, shout outs to Tokido, the Japanese Street Fighter V player who finally won a Street Fighter Championship during EVO of 2017 of just this past or just a few weeks ago,
yep.
about 3 weeks ago, and
yep.
he's been chasing that title for the past 15 years.
Wow!
And yes, he joined Echo Fox. Rick Fox team just right before the season started or the end of EVO last year. Yeah, there's Shaquille O'Neal's part of it too as well.
Mm-hmm.
There's like many sponsors about it, so I'm not
yeah.
gonna be surprised.
Yeah, gaming has taken on a big part of the culture right now, and we're also seeing a big uptake from people like Intel Masters and other other gaming tournaments that are really bringing in and pushing towards the VR gaming as a competitive gaming aspect as well.
Just imagine playing CSGO with VR. I mean,
Doom.
there's going to be no cheating on this because, well,
yeah.
It's going to be monitored by the guys who already know how to run and how to find cheaters.
Oh, yeah.
It's an underground thing. We are the underground sports.
And with the upcoming Quake Arena,
Jesus.
Oh man, we're getting back into the glory days of gaming.
Yeah,
yeah.
Quake, Quake 1, Quake 2, Quake 3. You also remember Unreal Tournament for all you older
uh-huh.
people. I mean, yeah, you know, Counter-Strike.
We're also this year, and I don't think you've got this listed up here, but Nintendo World Championship is coming back.
Really?
2017, this year. I just saw that this morning.
That I haven't read about yet.
Yeah, I just saw that this morning on another main news article feed. I didn't get a chance to look into all the details yet, but yeah, Nintendo World Championship is coming back. I can't wait to get more details on that.
Oh yeah, the success of Smash Brothers during EVO the
yeah.
past 6-7 years finally opened their eyes. It took them that long, but good job, Nintendo.
Well, things like Splatoon is getting hit very big too.
Yeah,
so.
Splatoon. Too bad Pokken didn't make that well because of whatever. Hey, that's their loss.
Right?
Yep. So, yeah, guys, keep an eye out for that. We'll give you guys the more details whenever stuff comes out for the 2024 Summer Olympics. Oh, one of my favorite games, Friday the 13th, has approached 2 million copies that have been sold from what the developers said, and they're also, quote-unquote, confident from moving forward now.
Yeah.
So there's been a lot of press around the Friday the 13th game, from the very buggy launch, which I, yeah, to the controversy surrounding it's still in development single-player mode. I'm still waiting. But in spite of this issue, really, Wayne?
Yeah. It's fine.
Better now. All right. So, but in spite of the issues, the game still has managed to sell a good amount of copies. The publisher Gun Media announced today that the game has moved 1.8 million units in the 2 months since it launched. I'm one of them, so.
Yep.
So, in a press release, studio head Wes Keltner acknowledged the launch issues and said the developers, Illphonic, has more confidence now in its ability to improve the game moving forward. Thank God, because there's a lot of glitches going on with there. There's a lot of cheaters while skipping, you know, going up, but Jason can't follow.
Yeah.
So it's been a long 2 months from our team here at Gun and Illphonics. We also have an incredibly supportive and dedicated community since we launched, and while things haven't been completely smooth, we definitely feel confident moving forward. The team has grown, and we are committed as we work to add more content, more kills, more to do, and of course, the single player component to the game. I'm waiting for that, guys. So, Yeah. Yep. So yeah, and also the Friday the 13th. Oh, will launch. Oh, the company also announced that the physical release of the game will launch on a very appropriate date, which is Friday the 13th this coming October.
Ooh.
So, version is coming to the PS4 and Xbox One, and includes a Bloody Jason skin and a free clothing pack for playable camp counselors.
Ah.
$40.
Wow.
It's the same price of the digital, but you get a few more things.
Yeah.
I'll probably buy it just because. I have it for PC, but I'll buy it for the PS4.
There you go.
Yep. And, of course, going back, free Xbox One and 360 games. Games for gold. What do we got, Wayne?
Well, already out for August. We've got Slime Rancher.
Oh!
I haven't played it yet, but it's supposed to be pretty fun. The 360 game is Bayonetta, which is supposed to be really good.
It is. It is a great game. It's a great shooter. It's a more fun version of Devil May Cry, in my opinion.
Yeah. And then coming on the 16th, we're going to get Trials Fusion, which if you like to do racing and sports, you know, jumps and crazy stuff,
yeah,
you're going to have fun with that. And then we get Red Faction Armageddon for the 360.
Right.
So, a good selection of good games. I think Slime Rancher is going to be good for those that are got younger audience, younger kids, and so forth in there. But you know what? It's probably going to be good for adults too.
Yep, and also for the Bayonetta fans, old school, you know, GameCube Bayonetta guys, pick it up. You know what to do. And speaking of which, Xbox One update has changed the home screen and is out for some.
Yeah.
So wow, this is pretty cool. So despite reworking the Xbox One's user interface back in March, Microsoft has previewed another redesigned version of its UI. Among other things, this includes a revamped home screen that, quote-unquote, focuses on speed, customization, and expression. Well, just like the old 360.
They're constantly improving, yeah.
Yeah, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
So there's also a video out for it right now, guys, and there's also image gallery. This presents a similar aesthetics but radically different layout for the system overall. The initial home screen features a new bar that lets you jump back to whatever you were previously doing. Presents two suggestions such as recommending a new friend who might play the similar games as you, but you don't know that person at all. So
yeah.
Yep. And also highlights a deal that should be relevant to you. Immediately below that is an area that houses a link to my games and apps, and as well as games and apps you previously played along to. So, yeah. Thanks, Microsoft, after another update like months later.
Yeah, it's supposed to be a lot more fluid, a lot faster. I'm looking forward to seeing it in person, but I gotta wait until I get my machine updated that I don't use very often. So.
Yep. And of course, one of our favorite games that's been out for the past almost 2.5 years.
Yeah.
Halo 5, which is quite surprisingly, it's still getting more updates.
It is. Yeah. Microsoft is really committed to this, along with 343.
Yep. Developer 343 Industries has supported Halo 5 Guardians with regular and substantial updates since the game's release in October of 2015.
Yeah.
Jesus. So we're going to hit 2 years in October.
Yep.
While the game is no longer, you know, receiving major expansions, that doesn't mean 343 is finished up with supporting the title itself. In last week's blog post, 343 said, quote-unquote, "Even as we're nearing 2 years since release, the team is far from done. Right now, 343 is working on a 4K update to Halo 5 on Xbox One X."
So oh, yeah. System.
Yep. 343 also teased in the blog itself, quote-unquote, "From early glimpse I've seen, it is something to get excited about for players with the 4K hardware."
Yeah.
"This update has required a lot of time and effort," 343 said. And the studios also added that the is working on its update alongside with a quote-unquote brand new secret stuff for the future.
I.e. Halo 6 or maybe some other expansion they're considering.
Just give us Halo 6, you
I know,
crazy
right?
SOBs.
I want Halo 6 already.
Yeah. So they said Halo 5, they would like to do everything is pretty much, you know, seemingly never ending.
Yeah, what they want to do, they don't really have...
They have no... they don't know what to do with it. You know, that's what it is.
A lot of things are left in limbo, you know. There's either critical need or to greenlight a patch, so forth, you know, exploits. You know, Halo 5, it's got a lot of people doing the multiplayer. It's one of those games where it's very competitive, and people play it professionally.
Yeah.
So they got to make sure this game is
yep.
You know, perfectly running the way as best they can.
Indeed.
So.
Also, specifics are still being held back for now. 343 said the fall update for Halo 5 will do more than add 4K support for the Xbox One X. A number of high-profile bugs are being actively worked on. In addition to a few things that I think will be generally surprising. So
that's what I like to hear.
343 never used to fail us, especially starting from Halo 4.
Yeah. Yeah, they've been doing a great job with the Halo franchise.
Yes, I know. And also, finally, this is one of the last major news we're going to talk to you guys about, Wayne.
So this one is another after 2 years.
Yeah, it's pretty much they confirmed it at the same time as Halo 5, but Wayne?
So, many of you have used Spotify and perhaps your PS4 or your PC. Well, it was exclusive PS4 for the last 2 years. Now, we got Spotify for Xbox One.
Yo's.
So, that's really good.
So, it's finally official.
Yeah.
And about several hours ago, we received that confirmation. The music streaming app has officially launched on Microsoft's console. Long time coming, as Spotify went live on PS4 2 years ago. However, It's better late than never, and now Xbox One players can access their Spotify playlist while gaming. Awesome.
Yeah,
too.
Let it play in the background.
Okay, so the app itself works just like the PS4 app. You can leave it running in the background while playing games, essentially creating your own custom soundtrack. Just remember to turn off the in-game music. So the app is controllable through your phone as long as it's connected the same Wi-Fi network as your Xbox One.
Yep.
You can use Spotify to connect in the phone app to pick the, you know, choose the songs what you want to play. And to mark the occasion, Larry Major Nelson, Herb, is that how you pronounce his last name?
Herb,
yeah, okay, shared a playlist that he specially, you know, curated. It's the full of Game of Thrones music.
Kygo
and Phil Collins.
Phil Collins.
That's pretty awesome, so yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Cool. Alrighty, guys, so major fun stuff for us to tell you guys now. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So 4 days of full shenanigans at San Diego Comic Con 2017. If you count the 3 hours for preview night that we went to, that's where I did all my shopping. I believe Wayne did all of his shopping too as well. Did you?
I didn't do that much shopping. I did most of mine throughout. Well, yeah, actually, no, I didn't get anything that night.
Really?
Nope.
I'm surprised.
I got everything else throughout the con.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, yeah. You started off, Wayne. I've been talking the whole time on this podcast for quite a while, so.
Alright, well, as many of you guys know, preview night, there really wasn't a lot to do other than walking around, checking things out.
But there's actually room to walk around, which is a good thing.
I ran into either somebody who was a incredibly talented makeup artist and cosplay who looked just like Benedict Cumberbatch in Doctor Strange, or I was standing right next to Benedict Cumberbatch. I couldn't see the badge, so I couldn't tell you for sure.
Benedict Cumberbatch wasn't at the panel, which sucks.
Yeah, well, this was preview night.
No, but still they weren't in the panel.
So he probably wasn't there, but this was incredible. I mean, I looked at him like, dude, that's like, you look like you walked right out of the movie.
I know who you're talking about. I saw him at WonderCon as well.
Yeah?
But this time he at WonderCon he had the bandages on his hand, he had the scars on his hand, the huge beard, like the Doctor Strange trying to find,
he had the long hair, everything.
Yeah,
he was
the Doctor Strange that was trying to find the answers, trying to get his hands back.
Yeah. So preview night I really didn't do anything.
Yeah. For me, preview night I did a lot of taking pictures about a lot of stuff that I need to get rid of, like, you know, half of the list that I wanted for myself and a few friends too as well, and also met up with a few of my friends who are the photographers and also cosplayers too as well. Just to see how things go. Wayne, how about you? Day one, official day one, Thursday.
Let me go back to my notes here. Let's see. Okay, so actually, I did go to a screening on the 19th. So, preview night, I was at a screening. It was a WB screening. It basically was just a whole bunch of little bits and pieces of different things. The trailer for Krypton, things like
cool,
that.
Cool, I'm actually stoked for that.
Trailer for Black Lightning. There wasn't enough to really give us a whole lot to look at. And we had to sit through Teen Titans Go to get to those.
Oh, jeez.
So it was like 4 hours of
They tortured you guys.
I hope they learned a lot about what people wanted, because a lot of people got up and walked out of that panel because they didn't want to sit through it.
But you saved the whole way around, huh?
Yeah. It just wasn't much that night. So the first day, the 20th, first thing I did was hit the Hasbro Transformers panel, which we got to learn about the Transformers Prime Master line, which we're going to get some incredibly beautiful figures such as Rodimus Prime, Starscream, Dreadwing, others. We found out that Machinima's series of Transformers, they did the Titan Returns, the Titan... whichever one they did last time. It's gonna continue with Titan Returns, and we're gonna get true voice actors this time.
No second rate people.
There's gonna be a few.
No, but still,
we're gonna get Peter Cullen. Jed Nelson, I believe. Coming back. I mean, we're getting some of the guys that have worked in
the OGs.
Some of them, yes.
Some of the OGs.
It's gonna be about 10 episodes long. We're going to have Trypticon in there.
Okay.
So it's going to be pretty, pretty crazy. It sounds really great from what I've heard. Then I moved over to the IDW, one of the IDW panels.
Mm-hmm.
There were several of them, actually. This one featured, was primarily focusing on, I think, the Hasbro prop. No, actually, I'm not sure which one this focused on. There was too many of them to keep track. Anyways, this, the first one I came up with was a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles crossover with Ghostbusters 2.
I heard.
So the second crossover they're going to do, which is going to be coming out in November, sounds really good. Then we've got IDW's First Strike Comics, which will be coming out in August. We're going to be getting a bigger integration of the Hasbro universe, i.e. G.I. Joe is on Cybertron. And that's actually one of the first stories you'll find out, is that Joe Colton is actually turning more to a bad guy.
What?
And he is going to lead an assault on Cybertron against the Transformers.
Wait. General Colton.
I believe that's... Yeah.
General Joe Colton.
Yeah. Right?
Oh my, what?
It is going to reshape what you think of it with everybody. You've got Transformers on the Joe's team. You've got, G.I. Joe on Cybertron. You got Mask involved. You've got... It's going to be crazy.
Okay.
We've also got G.I. Joe Unmasked, Army Ants, Rom and Micronauts.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah. Till All Are One annual comes in December. Visionaries are announced. And in amidst all this, Unicron pops up.
What?
Unicron.
I just like how they
Unicron
duped everybody from the Transformers 5 movie.
This is going to be better. This is IDW. This is going to be better.
Yeah, no. Because you don't want to say it was the best one they made so far. No.
Yeah.
No.
So Unicron's going to come out in 2018. Yeah, so Visionaries is back, which actually is part of the Revolution toy set I picked up at Comic-Con. It has a Visionary figure in it. It's like one of the first times Visionary has been is back, finally, after how many years? And not only that, it's got a ROM figure in there, two ROM figures. It's like the first time in like 30 years or 20 years that ROM's 20, had a 20 figure.
20-some odd years, yeah.
That ROM's had a figure. It's pretty crazy. After the IDW panel there, I went over to the Legion panel, which they showed us a little bit of hints of what's coming up on Legion, and it looks incredible.
I bet.
I can't wait for that to come back. The big news out of that panel was a little snippet that Noah Hawley announced towards the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
He is working on a movie, Doctor Doom.
Yes, from whatever, yes.
Yes. So, keep that in mind.
A standalone Doctor Doom.
Yes. So keep that in mind. Now, this is still coming from the people at Fox who screwed up Fantastic Four, so I'm a little bit wary of it.
How in the hell would they make a Fantastic Four movie when the franchise itself, Marvel, put it out to, you know, put it out to pasture?
Yeah. After that, I went into the Inhumans panel. I was lucky enough to get into that. Nice. And I am super stoked on what I saw from that.
It is
looking great. Not only did I get into the panel for that, they gave me, before I got into the panel, I was walking around downtown and I got a wristband for a secret IMAX showing, which I didn't know what that was going to be, and I wasn't sure I was going to make it because I was going to be the Inhumans panel.
Uh-huh.
Well, it turns out that was for the Inhumans showing in IMAX the
wow
footage they showed at the panel. So right after the panel, I booked it over there. I didn't have time to stay, unfortunately, so I didn't, because it was too big of a line, but I did get in and take a look at it. Got a picture of Lockjaw. Huge. I mean, this thing was like the size of a small, well, two-story house. It was beautiful, man. So I booked it back to the Comic-Con after that, because I had the Robotech panel to get to. Some interesting news from Robotech, but not a whole lot, as far as the movie goes, but I'll give you a little bit here. Strange Machine Games is going to make 2 Robotech board games.
Huh.
Coleco is going to make a Robotech mini arcade game. Loot Crate is going to have more Robotech exclusive items coming up. Kids Concept is going to make a transformable SDF-1 that is going to be 2 feet long. Right?
Wow.
Yeah, it's going to be... the little bit... What they showed us there, it's going to be pretty sweet. Caliber Wings is going to make Robotech diecast models that are incredibly detailed. We have new Robotech art books coming from Udon. Yeah. Yeah, but nothing really big on the movie at this point.
That's been...
Yeah, we kind of expected
3-4 years now?
At least. It's been longer than that. We first got talked about the first Robotech movie, first started talking about that at Comic-Con, was right after the first or second Spider-Man movie with Tobey Maguire. To give you reference there.
The first one was about 2004?
Because he was on board to produce it at the time.
Sam Raimi?
Something like that, yeah. No, Tobey Maguire.
But
he's since moved on, so
yeah.
Everybody has. So that's it for that day.
Yep. For me, day one, I walked the floor, see what I could find, see what I liked. There's a lot of stuff that I found. The one main thing that really caught me was in the Capcom booth. Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite.
Mm.
Yes, I played it. I was there for like a good 2 hours. Yeah, when I was doing my lunch break, I was eating inside. I actually went to the Capcom booth. I did play it. I played against my friend Dios X, who is a local San Diego and a local tournament guy. And also finally got a chance to meet Maximilian. If you don't know who he's an old school player. He has on a YouTube channel called Maximilian Dude, D-O-O-D. And he's, you know, fighting game guy. Played him 4 or 5 games. I actually did enjoy it. I slowly got into it. Marvel's Capcom Infinite, new game coming out in September, next month. For the Xbox One and also for the PlayStation 4.
Nice.
It is going back to the original 4-button layout versus the 3-button layout for Marvel 3. And let's see. Yeah, so there's no assist over there. You call out your partner 1 and 2, but you get the Infinity Stones as your stuff. So the Power Stone, you get a little orb going following your opponent. The Time Stone, which is speed. The Power Stone... Is it the Power Stone? The purple one knocks the opponent's back. The Space Stone actually pulls your opponent towards you. Mm-hmm. The Soul Stone grabs your opponent and puts him in a stun rate. It stuns him for like a good 5 seconds. And there's also one more stone that hasn't been appeared yet, but hopefully we'll get that soon. Also, they also had new characters as in Gamora.
Okay.
Yeah, they also had, let's see, Zero... Let's see. I wish they had Jetta over there. Jetta from Darkstalkers. I would have loved to play him. Yep, and they also had Mike Hagar.
Okay.
Yeah, so they have new characters over there, as long as like also the older ones too as well. They also got Spencer and Frank West is back too as well. There's also a leak that came out several weeks ago prior to the debut of during E3. It's actually all those characters are in its leak.
Okay.
Sources, so it's true. Well, you also got Nemesis 2 as well, which came out. Chris Redfield, yada yada yada. And yeah, let's see. I went to a small, what do you call that? A Game of Thrones cosplay photo shoot at the Children's Library downtown San Diego. Really fun. A lot of people showed up, surprisingly. The people from the library were very, you know, okay with us going over there, meeting the kids and whatnot. And let's see, I didn't hit any panels on Thursday as well. So, Wayne, how about you on day two?
Day two, I started out with another IDW panel.
Oh, which one?
This was one of their main ones, and this one had quite a few surprises in it for us. The first one is that they acquired the rights to Sonic the Hedgehog. So in 2018, we're getting new Sonic the Hedgehog comics, and it's going to have their own flavor and take on it.
And which is IDW, which is known for.
Yeah. It's looks pretty good. I'm excited about that, and they spent a lot of time talking about that. Next, they talked about Samurai Jack.
Yes.
He is going to get Lost in Time this September. So.
I'm down for that.
Yeah, that would seem kind of trippy the way they just went over that. We also get Gem Dimensions come out in November. And then another surprise announcement, because you remember IDW is not Marvel. Marvel is Disney, right?
Yeah.
Well, guess what IDW is going to be putting out?
Disney?
Star Wars Adventures.
They probably strike a deal with them with
yeah.
Disney.
So Star Wars Adventures is going to be catered more to the kids.
Huh.
So Marvel's going to be doing the more of the adult line.
IDW's going to
do
all
the kid stuff. Yeah, basically. But not only that, IDW is also going to be doing adaptions of all the Star Wars movies.
Kid style.
No.
What?
This is going to be just straight up IDW adaptions. They're going to start with Force Awakens in August. This month. So we're going to have to wait and see how well that works out. So, keep in mind, IDW is doing Star Wars. Now, guess what else they do? They do Star Trek. So, we also have Star Trek Discovery coming in October.
Yep.
Which brings in the Klingons. Which is going to be interesting.
You see in the back of this art book that Wayne got.
Yeah.
Volume 1, Star Trek Countdown.
And then I did actually retweet one of IDW's tweets as well for
I
you
saw
guys.
That.
I do a few of them over the week, but writer Kevin Scott actually revealed that the first Star Wars Adventures story is going to be about Rey before meeting BB-8.
Her prior origin.
Yeah. Going back to Star Trek here. We're going to have multiple variations of Kirk coming together in Star Trek Boldly Go. Also, we're going to get Goosebumps coming to IDW. New stories of Goosebumps.
As in comic book Goosebumps?
This is not going to be retelling of the old stories.
Yeah, it's super.
We may still get some of the same characters, but we're going to get new stories. X-Files is going to deal with the JFK assassination in comics. We're also going to be getting in January Gears of War comics.
That's normal for IDW.
Yep. And then I finished the night out watching Batman and Harley Quinn. One of the most hilarious.
I'll make it short and sweet. From 1 to 5 stars, what would you give it?
Oh, that's going to be easy 5.
Easy 5. How long was the movie?
What is it, maybe 80, 90 minutes?
About an hour and a half.
Something like that.
Average?
Yeah.
And kid friendly?
PG-13.
PG-13, but we can't say the same about The Killing Joke last year.
Oh, definitely not.
No.
There are some scenes in this one where you get some people in some situations that are like...
Very questionable.
You hide the kids' eyes.
Very questionable.
Actually more cover their ears, but...
very questionable, as we said. And yes for picking up or no to picking up?
Definitely want to pick this one up on disc when it comes out, or digital. give you a quick idea on this one. From the intro scene alone, you are gonna know this is a Batman like you have never seen. You've watched Pink Panther, old school Pink Panther.
Oh, classic Pink Panther.
The intro animation is Pink Panther style. Not the movie, but the intro.
The intro, yeah.
And it is beautiful.
The intro of the movie itself.
Is it was just... Oof.
Okay.
I really enjoy it. Everybody in the theater was laughing all the way through. it was a good comedy.
And for me, on day two, more photo shoots, as you can tell. No panels as well. I actually did a DC Extended Universe and Comic Book Universe photo shoot at the Mezzanine. Was actually fun as hell, too, as well. I saw a lot of... Man of Steel Superman. There was a dude that walked in that looks like Frank Miller's Batman. Like, literally, like the build and like the old man status, which is, I'll have pictures up as well. Wayne, day three,
I started out with the IDW Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles panel.
Is that the crossover? No, that's not the crossover.
Well, there's a lot going on there. Issue number 73, which just came out, marks it as the longest running Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles comic series ever.
Nice.
Yes.
Good job, IDW.
In August, this month, we are starting with Dimension X. Dimension X is going to be incredibly crazy and weird. So we're going to get Krang going on trial. We're going to get the Turtles mixed up with pro wrestling in Dimension X.
Pass!
Jorge might want to pick this up.
Yeah, we should call the dude.
Yeah, so writer Tom Waltz actually says the Trial of Krang storyline is kind of a Law and Order thing and catering to weird characters.
Yeah.
And then we had briefly Kevin Eastman went over and talked about how the first time Turtles went into space was a love story to George Lucas and Star Wars.
Nice.
Beautiful, right? Then came the crossover news of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and Usagi Yojimbo.
Nice.
Finally coming back as a crossover, which the creator of Yojimbo was there as well, talking about it. So pretty sweet. They haven't really done anything since the original creation of the two. They actually came out about the same time. Did a little bit of work back then there. But it's going to be completely different versions of the characters based on Japanese folklore. And actually, we have already seen the first crossover of the characters in the last couple Turtles cartoon.
Okay.
That just started coming back. But that's it for the that day. And that's actually the last panel I was able to get into all weekend.
Oh, man. For me, day three... I started off with a walk around with a few of my friends who are from the Comic-Con staff, photography section too as well. Made a couple of stops up in the front. There's a lot of cosplayers on day three.
Oh,
so much! I had so many good pics on there. So, I've seen a tatted version of Raven from DC.
Okay.
So she has, one arm full of tattoos and legs too as well. Let's see. I saw, the guys from the makeup artist studios,
mm-hmm,
that always goes there every year.
Yeah.
They did the Arkham Knight Joker. That's actually one story, not two.
Yeah.
Probably half story. Yeah, I saw that. But yeah, so they did the Arkham Knight Joker.
As in,
like the dying Joker Arkham City. And let's see, typical more Game of Thrones photo shoot. And I also did the Disney character photo shoot along with the Star Wars photo shoot, started by my friend, good photography friend of mine, Chief Geek Photography, Brandon Jackson. Shout outs to the 501st, the Mandalorian Mercs, and the Imperial Sand Dunes for being good sports and doing the photo ops with us. So much appreciate you guys. Thank you very much for doing a wonderful thing too as well. Yep, I saw that, and also I'll get onto it. Final day, More photo shoots for me. That was it. It's simple, plain out. Yeah. More photo shoots. Wayne?
Not really much. Mostly finishing up a few shopping. I picked up 3 copies of the comic book price guide, all 3 different covers.
Mm-hmm.
2 hardback, 1 softbound. I was only going to get one, but I couldn't help it. It was for a good cause anyways. I got a good deal on them all anyways.
Might as well.
So I got that. I got the Hasbro Revolutions toy set. And a bunch of free stuff and free comics and
we got our
t-shirts and hats and all kinds of cool stuff.
Yep, so that was our, that's it, huh? Yeah. That was our rundown for Comic-Con 2017. If you guys haven't made it yet,
you gotta go.
You gotta go. But if you really cannot afford it because it's very expensive, I would suggest going to WonderCon.
Yes.
In Anaheim, California. It'll be in, I believe, the last week or the last Saturday of March of the coming year. So, yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to be on there. And to give you guys a heads up, I will be at Long Beach Comic Con the end of the month. So, I'll be there. And I'll be at NerdBotCon in Pasadena, California in about 2 weeks after that. And I might be in a few other photo shoots that's going to be off-site. But I'll let you guys know, okay?
Alrighty,
guys. So, again, make sure to check on our Facebook page. I will have the photos up before... I'll be out of town on Saturday, but hopefully I'll be up. The photos will be up prior to or Monday of the coming week. Like it, and for all the guys that I gave the card to, thank you for liking our page on Facebook. Same way too with the guys from the Midwest.
Yep.
Who did is that a KaiCon that they did?
I forget which one. There's been a few ones they've been at.
Yeah, I know. It's more of those fake Japanese name, but yeah, it's run by. Yeah, you know what it is. Yeah. It's a bootleg of the actual Comic-Con. Anywho, again, make sure to check our Facebook page, like our page, share it. Make sure to look at our main website for upcoming articles, this podcast, and also, you know, DIY cosplay from the girls.
Yep.
And yeah, again, thank you for listening to us, guys, and we'll be back again next week. And we are, you know, twoshotsofgeek.com, and we're here to bring you the future, 8 bits at a time. I'm so hungry. Let's get out of here, Wayne.
All right.
What the hell's going on?
I don't know what you're saying.